Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor David Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Okay, so tonight we're going to jump in to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And somebody said, praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Come on. Psalm 34. Glory. Come on. Now you're getting fired up. Glory. Psalm 34, because we're going to talk about experiencing the goodness of God. Experiencing the goodness of God. Psalm 34. So when we read the psalm, sometimes we do it through a mistaken lens. And that mistaken lens is that because the psalms are written as poetry, this is the hymnal of the Old Testament people of God, which under the new covenant, we also partake in and we echo their praise, but we can mistakenly view it through the lens of poetry or song lyrics and forget that it carries the same weight as the rest of every page of scripture. It's not just flowery language meant to encourage you. This is theology meant to form you. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, training in righteousness. So when you read the Psalms, you're getting trained. God is forming you and shaping you and filling you with faith, giving you his perspective on life. And tonight, as we go to Psalm 34, it is also clear from this passage that the Psalms are written to teach us how to walk with God and experience the fullness of who God is. I want to experience the fullness of who God is. I don't want to end my life on earth and go into heaven and go like, you didn't really take seriously certain parts of the Bible, and therefore you only scratched the surface of what I wanted to show you and walk in and lead you through. And if we'll take seriously what we find in the pages of scripture, what it does is it opens our eyes to see the reality and then walk in the reality of who God is. This is a powerful, powerful thing in the life of the believer. And Psalm 34, in the middle of this psalm, verses 1-8, gives us one of the clearest pictures in scripture of how a person comes to experience the goodness of God. Because God's goodness is not just an attribute to admire. It is an aspect of his character that you are meant to enjoy and experience and walk in. The goodness of God should be something that floods your life continually. And it's not just something that every Christian experiences to the same degree. It's something that you walk in and enjoy if you pursue him intentionally. And so Psalm 34, David gives us three truths that really build on each other. And we're gonna watch this happen. The first one is this: God's goodness must be personally experienced. So God's goodness must be personally experienced. I wanna actually go to the passage real quick. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. He starts by saying, taste and see. The way he is talking to us about encountering the goodness of God is at the level of personal experience. Nobody else can taste something for you, right? They can describe what they tasted, but they cannot taste for you. This is exceedingly personal language on the part of the psalmist inspired by the Holy Spirit. Taste and see. And notice, David doesn't say analyze and see that the Lord is good. He doesn't say debate and see that the Lord is good. He doesn't say even think. Thinking is good. You pondering the scriptures is good, and the mysteries of God and all the things he wants to do in your life, all of that is good, but he doesn't say to think or analyze or debate. He says taste. He says experience the goodness of God. Taste and see, because here's the reality. You can know God is good theologically, and you can know God is good doctrinally, I think everybody in this room would testify to that, probably. You would say, theologically, I believe God is good. Your doctrinal statement as a person, what you believe about God would include his goodness. You can know God is good because your parents told you he was. Some of you grew up in a Christian home and they rehearsed the goodness of God to you, or your parents were very good at celebrating the goodness of God, or even because, come on somebody, your pastor preached that God was good. So all of that is fine. That is a good thing. But it's different to experience it. It's different when what you know in your head comes home to your heart through the experience of your life. And David is talking about something much deeper than secondhand information. He's talking about a firsthand experience. I didn't just hear God was good, I tasted and I saw that God is good. Here's the thing. Somebody can come to me and tell me that God isn't good, and that's going to hold zero weight with me. Why? Not because I know in my head, but because I've seen it in my life. I've tasted it. When you've tasted something, it doesn't matter what somebody says about it. You've got a personal experience of it. Okay. Who likes Andes? Like you like Andes? Like a blueberry cobbler concrete wouldn't hurt you. It wouldn't hurt you. I just need to know. And what?
It's his favorite.
For get out of town. Okay, stand up here. This is one of our James River College students. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to taste. Just get a big old taste of that concrete.
Where's the camera?
Wow. Okay, so hold the phone. If somebody was to come to you and say right now, Andes is disgusting.
No,
okay, they're gonna say, it's terrible.
No,
it's not, it doesn't no. taste good at all.
No.
Why?
Because I just tasted it.
Come on, somebody. Here's the thing. I love that. Your favorite? Oh my goodness. What are the odds? Here's the thing. They may have an argument, but what do you have? You have experience. They can tell him all the reasons why the blueberry cobbler concrete is the worst concrete Andes has. But it don't matter to Bobby. Why? Because he's holding one in his hand. He just put a spoonful of it, and it touched his taste buds, and it sent him to glory. Like, that just happened. He's got an experience. Some people might have an argument, but when you've got an experience, it changes the game. You will have to say, you know what? You're too late to this party because I've already tasted. I've already tasted that he is good and he does good. And you can't talk me out of his faithfulness, and you can't talk me out of his mercy, and you can't talk me out of his grace, and you can't talk me out of his loving kindness, and you can't talk me out of the fact that he is good and he does good and he will do good, because I've tasted it, everybody. I've tasted too much. So the fact of the matter is, God's goodness is meant to be personally experience, but the question is, how do we taste? And David answers this in verse 9. Look at this. Because God's goodness is tasted through surrender. This is powerful. Look at verse 9. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack. They lack nothing. Those who fear him lack nothing. Now, my grandpa Lindell, my dad's dad, before he went to heaven, when they would visit here, one of my most vivid memories of him is that he loved to go out to eat. He just loved it. And we loved it as kids because we didn't go out to eat a lot. So like when he was in town, we going out to eat. And he loved more than any restaurant in all of Springfield, he loved the Golden Corral. He loved the golden corral. It didn't matter. We could say, Grandpa, you know, what do you think about going to Steak and Shake? He'd say, you know what? I think we should go to the Golden Corral. Grandpa, what? Have you ever been to Cheddar's? Cheddar's is good. I think I'd like to go to the Golden Corral. And here's the reason Grandpa wanted to go to the Golden Corral. You can get anything you want at the Golden Corral. It doesn't matter if you want Italian, they got some of that. You want steak, they got some of that. You want chicken, chicken wings, they got some of that. You want ice cream with your chicken, you can have that. You want no salad, you can have that. You can have salad and ice cream if you want. You can have anything you want at the Golden Corral. And here's the icing on the cake for him. You can have it as many times as you want at the Golden Corral. You ain't talking him out of the Golden Corral. And here's the thing, when I think about this passage and I think about David saying, taste and see, what occurs to me is that you might wonder, how do you get up to the buffet line of God's goodness? How do you load your plate? Because I remember my plate at the Golden Corral. Just pile it high. And I don't know why, because you could come back, but it just felt right. It just felt like, got to get it, pile it high and deep. How do you do that? Like, how do you get a heaping helping of the goodness of God? And here's what I'll tell you. It doesn't happen passively, and it doesn't happen casually. It doesn't happen because you admire God's goodness from afar. It doesn't happen because you give mental assent to God's goodness. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen because you approach him occasionally or sporadically or when you have an emergency. People who know and taste and revel in and continually line up at the buffet line of God's goodness are people who do it intentionally. And they do it in a very specific way. They do it by posturing their life in a fear of the Lord, which sounds kind of counterintuitive, because we're talking about God's goodness, and the way to access God's goodness is what? Through fearing him. It's through surrender. It's through quaking awe. It's through unmistakable shaking reverence, because you understand who he is and you understand how holy he is. And you don't allow that to cause you to run from him. You're captured by it. Because when you've heard the call to be holy as he is holy, it didn't stop you from pursuing him. It said, oh God, you said, make me like you. I want to be like you. I want to be fully surrendered to you. I want to be holy as you're holy. I want to walk in submission to your word. I want to walk in obedience. I want my marriage to be in submission, my relationships. I want my mouth to be in submission to you. Everything about my life, I want it under the authority of Almighty God. Why? Because that's where the goodness is. You're going to walk in his goodness, you got to walk under his authority. You're going to walk by faith. This is the life of faith. And in fact, Charles Spurgeon said, faith is the taste buds of the soul. In other words, if you're going to experience the goodness of God, if you're really going to taste it, it will only happen by faith. It will only happen by living by faith. If you do not live by faith, if your life is not constantly oriented around what requires faith? How do I exercise faith? How do I make this part of my life line up with what is true faith? If that's not what my whole life is about, well, then I will have sequestered, intentionally or unintentionally, parts of my life from the experience of God's goodness. Because faith is the taste buds of the soul. If I'm going to really taste the goodness of God, it will happen by faith. I mean, think about this. You taste forgiveness by trusting in God for salvation. That's how you taste grace. You taste God's peace as you trust him when you're worried. You taste God's provision when you trust him when you're in need. It's trust, it's faith. Those are the taste buds of the soul. And without a surrendered life, that is yielded in submission to him out of faith in who he is and faith in what he'll do and faith in how he'll provide, well, then you'll miss out on his goodness, because that's only the only way you line up at the buffet of God's goodness. It is by surrendering your life and every aspect of your life to him. Any aspect not surrendered to God will forfeit the experience of the goodness of God in your life. If you want the full experience, if you want the full buffet, oh my goodness, then you've got to be fully surrendered. Now, number three, God's goodness is found by those who seek him. Verse 10. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack what? No good thing. They lack, think about how expansive that statement is. They lack no good thing. In other words, this is God's desire and design for your life. That you would lack no good thing. When was the last time somebody told you what God wants you to experience is the absence of lack of anything that is good? But that's God's desire for you. It's right here in Scripture. That you would lack no good thing. Why? Because you position yourself to personally experience the goodness of God. And you do that by surrendering yourself to God. And then in that place of surrender, you passionately seek God. Here's the thing. There's a really interesting contrast in verse 10. Because David says, the young lions suffer want and hunger. So lions are apex predators. And young lions, he's talking about lions in their prime, optimally positioned to get what they want, to get their way. Strength isn't a problem. Skill isn't a problem. Stamina's not a problem. Energy's not a problem. What is David telling us? He's saying you can be as clever as you want and as strong as you want. You can be as prosperous in your own strength as you want. You can be as smart as you can possibly be, but that will not allow you on its own to access the goodness of God for your life. It's not about what you can do. It's not what you bring to the table. If you live life in your own strength, if you navigate what you're facing, if you navigate your problems, if you navigate your relational hurdles, if you navigate your future and your decisions in your own strength, then guess what happens? You miss out on the goodness of God. Because even young lions hunger and experience want, but those who seek the Lord. Who are the ones who lack no good thing? Those who seek the Lord. This is the upside down nature of the way the kingdom of God works. It's not about strength, it's about surrender. It's not about what you have, it's about what you seek. It's not about what you know, it's about what you taste. And he wants you, of all the things God could want us to taste, he doesn't say, I want you to taste my wrath. I don't want you to taste my judgment. He doesn't say, I want you to taste my fury of sin. He says, oh, no. I want you to taste my goodness. God wants you to taste his goodness tonight. But the way you taste his goodness flowing into your life, in every area of your life, is through posture. It's a posture of seeking him. Fully surrender to him,